Janet, are you feeling all right?
Stop calling me Janet.
Isn't that your name?
Janet, sleep.
And I'm talking.
Well, what should I call you?
What is your name?
You don't belong here.
Welcome back to the Hatton Through Horrors podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
I'm Maria.
Elian.
And today we're reviewing The Conjuring 2, released in 2016, directed by James Wan, and screenplay by James Wan, Chad and Carrie Hayes, and David Leslie Johnson. Elian, can you please give the people the plot summary?
Alrighty. In 1977, Ed and Lorraine Warren ventured out to London to offer their expertise for the Hudgens family, who are facing unsettling events in Enfield. Peggy Hudson, in a state of desperation, reached out for their help when a sinister force took hold of their second eldest child, Janet. Assigned by the church to investigate the paranormal disturbances causing a stir in England, the Warrens entered a world where fear and uncertainty held away.
So The Conjuring 2. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but this is actually the first movie in the Conjuring verse I had ever seen. Like, I saw this in theaters the weekend it came out. I hadn't seen The Conjuring. I definitely hadn't seen Annabelle. So I went in watching this movie and I was like, oh shit, this is actually really good. And I'm usually very anti-ghost or like haunting movies. Outside of the Poltergeist, like the first two Poltergeists, well, the first two Poltergeists, I love. Outside of those, I don't do ghosts, I don't do spirits, I don't do people being possessed, like, I don't do that shit. But this movie, I was like, damn, this is actually pretty good. And I saw it in theaters like three times, because I was like, this is so fucking good. But what about you, Maria? What were your initial thoughts when you first saw The Conjuring 2?
I think I saw it in theaters because I had seen the first Conjuring. And, I mean, I already knew James Wan from, like, Insidious and stuff like that. But, like, I mean, this is one of my favorite movies in the whole universe. But it is also, I feel like, one of the cringiest movies because I feel like they really, like, show Ed and Lorraine's relationship a lot, that it's kind of like, it's like something scary happens and then they have their own little moment and then it's like back to like, I don't know, demons or whatever. And I think it's really weird, but I mean, it's not weird. It's just, it is weird. It's like a really weird like momentum, or pace or whatever, but I feel like it is one of their best movies. I liked the jump scares in the movie. I liked the whole background, the plot, and then if you like rewatching it, you'll notice little like Easter eggs throughout the movie that you probably haven't noticed. I feel like a lot of the scenes. I don't know. It's one of my favorite movies, and I think Valak is also one of my favorite villains, I guess. Not in the Nun. Well, the Nun is something else, but I feel like in this movie, like, it actually felt like it's a demon, not just like a witch, like in the last movie, or like a supposed doll that we may or may not know. You know, like the whole demon in the last movie, I feel like, and Annabelle also just fell flat for me, but I feel like Valak here was actually scary. But yeah, I think I really liked the movie when I first watched it.
One.
So for me, The Conjuring 2. I definitely like this one a lot. I also went to the movies to go see this when it came out. And it definitely was a good follow-up to the first one. It didn't feel like a one, because, you know, a lot of times when, you know, movies get sequels, they like try to up the budget. They're trying to do a lot more. And while, you know, the story was a little, like, slightly more intricate with how it went down with what was actually happening once we found out, you know, Valak was behind most of the things going on, and kind of holding the Bill Wilkins, like ghost as like hostage in a sense. I thought that was all pretty cool for how they went about that. And I think that was like, you know, a pretty good way to spice up the story a bit. And also keeping it more in the vein of, you know, like kind of a haunted house thing, but still giving us, you know, also a bit of Ed and Lorraine at the same time. Cause even though this is only the second movie, they were just so well received of how, Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson played them in the first one that, you know, they gave us more of like seeing them. And I think everything kind of came together pretty well. But to be honest, I think one of the gripes that I kind of had with this movie was the beginning sequence with the Amityville thing. I personally didn't think that needed to be in. I see how it was like set up for kind of the whole Valak thing, but just like randomly inserting Amityville in here just seemed like random when I first saw it, because it wasn't as connected to the story. And it's just one of those things that people who are like even mildly into, you know, like horror stuff like that know about that whole case and that story and such. So it just kind of seemed like a random shoe-in, but it didn't like overstay its welcome or anything, so it wasn't like I hated it. It just felt like weird to have it randomly put in. But the sequence itself, when it happened, was like shot really well. Besides that, though, everything else in the movie was pretty good to me. And I kind of agree with Maria that I like Valak a lot as like the villain for the story. And even though it like differs from what we get eventually in a Nun, the character design and all that stuff for Valak was like really good. And I liked kind of how they went with it.
Elion?
For me, I did not see it in theaters. It was already I saw this movie after. How did I even see it? Oh, yeah, I used a VPN to go see it because it was only in England. I actually really enjoyed this. I think this is the first... The Conjuring 2 was actually the first film I saw before The Conjuring. And that's what got me into it. I've seen Annabelle, like, you know, like the trailers and all that when it was happening, I believe. It never intrigued me until The Conjuring 2. I don't even know what to say. The storyline was good. The plot was great. I wanted to say about... I agree with Juan what he was saying. But I also... I don't know. Like, for me, it's like... I understand why they put it, because that's how Lorraine knows who this demon is, and that's what came up to be, you know, for the whole story. But you're right, it was like a small snippet. It wasn't too bad. Let's see, what else can I say about this? It's just like, what else did I like? I also enjoyed, like, unlike the other Conjuring film, I really enjoyed that they put more effort into having us know more of the character, like the mom and her struggles and what's been going on. And it just made us feel like we were there with them, understanding what they're going through. But on top of that, it just made us feel, it made me feel as if, you know, I can sympathize with them. And that's all I can say right now. But wait, let me get rid of that one. No, get rid of it. I did like Maria and Tom were saying, like, I did enjoy that the demon wasn't like in The Conjuring, which was a witch, and then Annabelle was Doja Cat. It was just more of like, it had, how do I say this? It was more,
It was just different. In the good way, not in the bad way. It was just different. That's all I'm going to say. Because I'm ranting now.
I definitely agree. This was, again, but this is the first one I've ever seen. So I had nothing to compare it with. So, I mean, I just saw The Conjuring 1 for the first time, like, a couple weeks ago. So, and this is a good movie. Like, from what I've seen so far, this is still my favorite of the first three Conjuring-verse movies we've seen so far. So, but about that, like, Amityville scene, I was just like, why is this here? Like, it was like a tease, like, if you know anything about Ed and Lorraine, yeah, they went to the Amityville house and did some investigation, but they were kicked out and they were threatened to like never come back to this fucking house. Like, the owners did not want their involvement at all. They were there for like a day. So just like, why is this scene here? Like, what are we doing here? And also, there's like fucking 10 movies about the Amityville horror. We didn't need this scene at all.
We let's not talk about it, honestly.
And also, I'm ranting because we're moving on to the theme section, scenes that stood out for us. I think I also want to merge this with like the jump scares and like scare scenes, because I feel like more so than Annabelle, this movie had more scenes of like just like intense anxiety inducing like scares for actual, me it did actual yes
good one.
Like that scene with it when the son was like went to go check on the dog and the dog just transformed.
That one scared the shit out of me when I first saw it. I was like, oh no.
That one too, but when the dog transformed into the Crooked Man, I believe. Like, I was like, what the fuck? And the kid was just, like, standing there in fear. I was just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. But there were so many just, like, intense scenes. And this time, like, sound design was, like, a huge factor. Like, it gave so much to it. And I was actually just like, I have no particular scene that stands out. But, like, the atmosphere and the setup for, like, the intense moments in certain scenes, that's what was staring out to me. That was just what was like making me like shake and like want to jump out my seat. But what about you, Maria? Were there any scenes that stood out for you? Any jump scares or scares or anything, good, bad, or indifferent? Maria?
Well, I mean, I agree with you guys about that first scene, that it seemed kind of like out of place. I mean, I'm assuming they put it there because it was technically the case that kind of like made them famous and put them on the map, really. But I feel like they kind of tend to do that where they'll like for example, in the first Conjuring, they like put in the whole Annabelle scene, but it wasn't about Annabelle. And I mean, I'm assuming that's what they were trying to do, but it just, I mean, I don't see them. And I think, like, I mean, I don't see them making a movie about Amityville. And I do agree with what Mark said, that, there's been, like, 10 made. There's probably, like, 20 books out there about Amityville that you just don't need another one. But, yeah, any scene with the Crooked Man, I feel like we're done very well. Every now and then you can see the CGI, but, like, most of the time, though, it did look, like, scary, and it did look really good. And I guess, like, the scene where, you know, they think it's the Crooked Man, and then they see, you know, a shadow coming, and it turns out it's the daughter. I thought that scene was good, too, because you're over here expecting them to see this tall figure, and it's just her, and she's over here talking, like, you know, her voice. I thought it was a really good scene. I liked the scene where with the painting. I think like Lorraine is sleeping and she's like dreaming and stuff. that whole sequence with the painting, and then like with Valak just like going behind the painting and then it like pops up. I feel like the first time it was done really great. They've tried replicating it throughout the series and it just doesn't hit as much as it hit the first time. And also the scene where, you know, the girl who was possessed, she, you know, had tied herself to the bed because she kept waking up and like, you know, supposedly sleepwalking. And then, you know, she wakes up in the room and then she sees, you know, Billy. And then she's just like, you know, she can't move really because of the string of the rope. And then she's back in the room. And I thought that scene was also really intense because they just kept hitting us with like, you know, with Billy and then with like, now she's in the room and the crosses and all these things just kept coming at them. And then I think the scene also where you find out that she was supposedly faking it, and then you're like, wait a minute, so then was she faking it? Like, was this fake then? And then just for, you know, for Lorraine and Ed to leave, and then like on the train, that's when it hits them, and that's when they like make sense of everything. I thought, honestly, like with the tapes, when it's like, they're trying to put together Billy's message and then you like hear it run through. I think the first time I gasped, I was just not expecting that. But
damn, yeah, I'm not gonna lie. In theaters, I was like, oh shit. Like, really?
Yeah, I was too.
Definitely one of those moments.
Yeah, but I didn't really like, honestly, any scenes with Ed and Lorraine when they were like showing off their like, not showing off, but like when they were showing their relationship and basically, you know, how they're made for one another, just things like that. I thought they were just very corny.
Corny, and like, I was like, I don't care about y'all. Like, y'all are just here to move the plot along. I don't need to see y'all happy marriage or in lovey-doveyness. Like,
yeah, it's like, I don't care. I think it's like the whole, like, you know, religious theme that they kept pushing in the first movie. They weren't pushing it as much in this movie, but they were pushing their relationship. It was like propaganda, you know, to show the world that Ed and Lorraine were really in love, or, you know, whatever. But it felt a little out of place sometimes, especially when like Ed, I think like in the final scene when you know, Ed rushes into the house while Lorraine can't get in and she's like screaming and she's like, Ed, don't do it or whatever. And it's like, okay, there's a little girl in there that needs some help. Like, I'm pretty sure you guys can do this later. But yeah.
Elian?
What was the question again? I'm so sorry.
Scenes that stood out for you. Jump scares, horror moments. Good, bad, or indifferent?
Let's see. For me, honestly, I liked the, you know, where we're talking about the tapes and all that stuff. I really enjoyed it. Like, you know, hearing, like, I was gassed as well when I heard, like, Billy's message. But I was just like, it was the aftermath, like Lorraine just seeing like this, like it hits her and now she's having a premonition and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I didn't believe it. I was like, is that how it works? And especially if it's not even in the same area, you know what I mean? It's like, he's not even in the house. You're not getting anything. You're in a train. But when it took me a while, I don't know. This is what happened for me. I was confused on where did Valak come from, because it took me a while. It wasn't until now, until I rewatched it, I was like, how did this demon come to this house out of nowhere? Like, you know, Billy with Billy and all this stuff. And then I remembered that the girl was playing with the Ouija board. And it was good that I watched it again, because I was like, oh, I didn't realize it until then. I didn't realize it until now. Oh, my God. What scene stood out for me was when she was like, I find it kind of creepy. Like, was the one where she, what's her name? What was the little girl's name? I forgot her name.
Janet.
There we go. Janet was in that room with all those crosses, like, and it was just like, it was like, I found this so fucking creepy, and I felt so bad for that girl, because like, she's in this, she's isolated from everybody else, and she's locked away, like she's literally a prisoner, and with all these religious with these religious items, and I'm like, that's terrifying. Another scene that stood out for me was, I don't know what stood out. This one stood out for me just because, like, you know, watching the previous ones, like I said before, is like, I really enjoyed that they actually this movie, they put the effort to let us know who these characters are, like the mother and her struggles, like what's going on with the kids and all that stuff. Like, that's what I enjoyed, because I, like, it wasn't rushed, it wasn't anything, it was like, it came in like slowly, and that's what I really enjoyed. That allowed me to sympathize more. I'm trying to think. I think those are the only scenes I can think of that I enjoyed and not enjoyed. Like I said before, I was terrified when Billy woke up in like his little toy truck, and then all you hear is a fucking scream inside that big ass tent. That scared the shit out of me when I was watching it. No, that's about it. I can also agree, like, I didn't like it was just like so cheesy and corny, like Ed and Lorraine's like love, because I'm like, this doesn't really relate too much in the movie per se, and I don't know why they had to add that part. I don't know if you guys remember, is like when Lorraine was like, I'll give you something to, I forgot what exactly she said. It was just something, it was like a sexual term. It was a sexual innuendo that she was saying. And I was just like, what was the point of this? But those are my opinions.
Go on.
So for me, as far as like scenes in this movie that I liked, I definitely will agree with what Maria said. The whole sequence where Valak is like inside Ed and Lorraine's house, and their daughter like sees Valak. That whole sequence, like especially seeing it the first time around, was just like really well done. Like, I think that's probably the main sequence I remember from this movie the most. Just because, you know, we had seen like slightly seen like Valak at the beginning. Actually, no, we hadn't even seen Valak at that point, because it was just the whole part where Lorraine saw like a shadow of a man like getting like impaled at the Amityville house. So like, we see that for the first time, like it was like, oh shit, like what the fuck is that? Like, it was a really good sequence, and it's another one of those ones where I'm just like, James Wan, when he's like behind the camera for this stuff, like he knows what he's doing. Like, cause like, yes, we know we're getting led into like a scary scene, but like, it's just so intriguing. You're like, oh shit, like what the fuck is about to happen? And like, the whole sequence is just like done like really good. Like the first scene of Valak, like there's like no music or anything in the background. It's just like complete silence. Then you go in the room with Lorraine and Valak, the shadow goes to the picture and all of that. Like, everything there, it was just like very well shot. I love that part a lot. Besides that scene though, another one that I remember liking from this movie was when Janet was at the house by herself and she was watching the TV, and she kept seeing like the TV kept turning off by itself. And she was looking at the TV and saw the remote fall. And when she turned to the side, like Bill was like, my house. Like, that was a good like jump scare as well. I like that one. And just the first time when we see the Crooked Man, that was a very good scene. I like that one a lot. And I think one more scene that's not really a jump scare, but will always be funny from this movie, is when they were telling the police about what's happening at the house, and the chair just moves across the room and to the kitchen, and they're like, well, we can't do anything for you. Like, they fully acknowledge.
And I was not mad at them either. I'm like, get the fuck out.
That was so funny, because it's like, every time you see stuff like this, you know, shit like this, like, people, they wonder who to call, and they actually call the police. The police saw themselves, and were like, we cannot do nothing for you.
You know what I do love about this movie is that, like, it's a different kind of family. Like, we saw the middle class American family, they were like off in the wilderness some fucking where, probably in the Midwest, in that first one. And then we get to the second one and we have like some British family, you know, and I don't know, it was,
I love their banter. God.
Yeah, like it showed a different like family dynamic and a different like way to handle these kind of situations, because like this family had a fucking TV crew there documenting shit, like they had a whole thing going. And I'm like, would the American family have done that? Would they have tried to like, would they try to prove themselves so hard?
They even had TV. Yeah, the movie was produced. Like,
yes, this is set in 77.
What was the other one on?
That was like in the early 70s.
They were about the 70s also.
So we've had TV since like the late 50s. Oh my.
Oh my God.
All I know, that shit was so funny to me. Like that was just so funny, because I'm sure they weren't expecting to say anything, but it was just the fact that they were like, oh, we can't do anything for you. Like y'all.
But I think there are so many different paranormal investigators that like popped up to try to help, but no one could help except for Ed and Lorraine. Like, what did Ed and Lorraine do that the other people didn't? Like, that was never really explained to me. And like, I'll get into them and get to the character section, which we're going to right now. Maria, what are your thoughts on the Hodges family?
Well, I mean, I agree with what you guys were saying, that they are very, I really liked their dynamic. I liked their jokes. I feel like they were very well placed throughout the movie, and they didn't really like the comedic relief was nice, honestly. And it didn't kind of make the movie any less than what it was, which was like a scary movie. I really liked the dynamic of the kids. I feel like they're probably a lot closer than the kids from the first movie. You know, I kind of get that vibe that they joke around with each other a little bit more, and they're a little bit more bonded. I feel like in the first movie, you kind of see them just play, you know, as kids do. But I feel like here they kind of talk to each other about, you know, how one of them was bullied, and they, you know, they stand up for him. And then the other girl talking about, you know, her dad leaving with one of her sisters. And I think she even did the Ouija board with one of her sisters. And then I think in the first movie, when the first girl, that scene where the door slammed, and then they came in and they asked the other sister in the room, and they were like, oh, like what happened? And she was like, oh, but I didn't see anything. It's like a door just slammed in your face. Like, and you're going to say you didn't see anything. All right, I guess. But here they just really had each other's backs, you know? They didn't really let Janet deal with it alone, which I feel like, look, like, I love my siblings, but, like, once it starts to get really demonic, I don't know if I'm, you know, if I'm helping out, because that's above me. I just can't.
It's above me now.
You were just fighting demons last week. What happened? What happened to you? You were just fighting these demons last week.
Hold up now.
Look, because if a demon popped up wearing a nun, like a nun, whatever the fuck he was wearing,
but the Annabelle demon
business, I'm not, no. Like, he's getting fucked up. The other demon was just silly. He was just being silly.
Jesus Christ. We'll say that. I was actually scared. I was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, you know, like, he's obviously here to show he's very blasphemous. Cool. Like, I get it. Like, I'm just not gonna... You know? Like, he's here to definitely do some shit. And I'm, you know... I mean, I'll try, but I definitely don't think I'll survive that. But yeah, I feel like the family here is a lot closer. Even with their neighbors. Their neighbors were there to help them. They let them in their house. You know, they were actually very nice. Even though the demonic activity moved over to their house, they still weren't like, yeah, get the fuck out, you guys. But they were very helpful. And I feel like that was nice to see.
No, that was stupid, because you and your demons gotta go. I'm so sorry. Ooh. Don't bring that demonic shit to my house. Like, I invite you over for a safe haven, and you bring these demonic entities with you? You gotta go. Like, that was dumb. That was dumb. Now, Maria, if I came over with my demonic entities, you would kick me out. Like, I already know it. And I would be okay with that, because... Who want that? Like, don't want that voodoo with me. Like, don't bring that shit over here. Like, I get it. That was dumb. I was really looking like this. These people actually just gonna let them say. They go let them say. They ain't gonna kick them out.
I'd have to see the demon first, and then I'll see.
What do you mean? You have to see the demon first? No. Once a chair flies across my living room, you gotta go. Like, there's no wait and see, Maria. The way you're picking and choosing with these demons, like, I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm not taking my chances. But what about you, Tuan? What are your thoughts on the Hodges family?
Yeah, I like the family in the movie. I thought they were pretty good. They were also, like, fun and, like, very, like, more lighthearted than the family from the last movie. Like, I don't know, like, think, like, they're comparing them to this family to the one from the last movie. They felt a little more, I guess, natural, or maybe I don't know, it just felt more comfortable, I guess. But in the last movie, I felt like the family was a bit, like, disconnected, especially with, like, the wife and husband. I don't know, they didn't feel like they meshed, so, like, the whole thing didn't feel like it meshed. But with this one, like, the mom was really, really cool in this one. And then I thought, like, all the kids were good as well. And one thing I liked about the family as well is their relationship they had with the neighbors, because the neighbors were, like, very kind to them, the ones across the street. They were very, like welcoming and trying to, like, ride this out with them. So I thought that was, like, a good little dynamic that they had as well. And you could just tell that the mom, like, she wasn't trying to, like, push, like, the issue off. Like, she once she, like, saw it, like, she understood what was happening, and, like, she was just trying to do whatever she could do to, like, help her daughter in that situation. And I think that was like, you know, very good to see.
Elyon?
I feel like I already said enough when it comes to their family. Yeah. What I can say is, like, they're a related family. Like, the mother, like, I'd agree with Juan. Like, you know, she, like, she didn't, like, say, like, put it aside. It's like, oh, it's nothing. Like, she actually went into, like, she was a very caring and defensive mother. She's a very understanding mother as well. Like, what was it? Oh my god, this scene still makes me laugh about the cigarette scene and how they call it fags. Like, oh my god. But as, like, Maria says, like, yeah, they're a family.
They still call them that.
Yeah, I know. You know, I know because my friends are like, I wish I had a good had me a good fag right now. I'm like, oh god. my friends, like, they'd be like, oh, give me a quick fag. Oh, I love me a good fag. I'm like, oh my god. No, I like Maria was saying, like, I like that the kids were like more bonded. Like, we see that in the beginning, you know, how Billy was being bullied and her and his sisters were there to defend them. On top of that, even in the end, they still like, I don't know if you remembered, when Ed was talking with the kids and he was like saying, like, you know, this is our sister and this demon is a bully, and they still wanted to help their sister because, you know, that's their sister. They love her. Like, it was just more closer relationship. That's all I can say. Like, like what we were saying, like, you know, the dynamic of this family is different from like what we had, like the middle class and then the upper class. I believe they were upper class at the time, and Annabelle, or like they were still like high middle class. But just to end this, like, I just enjoyed this family because it's more relatable for me, because I know that kind of family. That family is basically what I have. So I was like, I like that. I can empathize. I can sympathize. I know the struggle. That's it.
Well, why don't you keep on going and give us your thoughts on Ed and Lorraine?
I did not like shit. what can I say? I don't know. I just didn't like. I know they're part of it's called the Enfield Poltergeist, I believe. I just didn't like the amount of like romantic gestures that were in this. Like, I didn't see the point of it. I really did not like the way that they were portrayed in this movie themselves. Like, I don't know what to say. I just didn't like it, to be honest. I did enjoy the scenes where they're trying to help Janet, they're trying to defend her and all that stuff. But the love scenes and like they're pushing their love, it's just like, it was kind of cringy to me.
Maria?
I agree, and you know, I've been saying it this whole time, they were just really cringy here. And then I forgot who said this earlier, but they were kind of just there to kind of move the plot along, but I feel like they didn't
really need it.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't really do much besides like show, you know, their relationship and how in love they are. And but I feel compared to the first movie, where I think they did a lot more, like especially a lot more investigation, a lot more background. I think they were doing research at some point. They didn't really do that here. And I think they had said that they weren't really trying to work hard because the church kind of told them not to, since this whole poltergeist thing was already kind of national news. So I think they did mention that the Vatican, they didn't really want to get involved. But, like, then what was the point, you know? Then what was kind of the point of talking about this experience and making a film about it if, you know, they were technically not really supposed to be helping the way they would have if the Vatican had approved? And I think that... and then, yeah, like, you know, they were there. I feel like they were there just to... Because... There was that scene when Ed was singing Elvis Presley, and
I found that so hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like you're trying to show that, oh, we're all in this together, but it didn't really do anything, you know? Like, the family was already pretty close. Sure, I mean, obviously, definitely, you know, a lot of the kids, and I'm pretty sure the mom were, like, going through it, because, you know, they had also... Their dad had also left, I think, like a year before, and the mom was struggling, and all these small things. And but it's like, Ed and Lorraine were definitely supposed to be there for this demon. They didn't really do anything until the very end. And even then, Lorraine didn't even really want to, like, help, you know? Like, she was like, you know, Ed, like, you can't go inside no matter what. But it's like, okay, there's a little girl in there screaming for help, and, like... Honestly, like, if Ed had not gone inside, I don't think Lorraine would have gone inside, you know? Which, I think that's not what they were trying to portray, but that's kind of how it came off. Which, I mean, I get, because I think, like, the whole point since the beginning was that Lorraine had a premonition of Ed's death. But then it's like, okay, so then you're not going to be helping these other people that need help, then what's kind of, like, the point? And even, and yeah, and I feel like they didn't really put their all into the investigation. And even, and also, I think even in the real... in real life, I guess, I think they had gone in and they made it worse and then they just left because, yeah, because the Vatican did not give them permission to actually be there. If I remember that correctly, I don't, I might be remembering that wrong.
No, you're correct. They weren't supposed to be there. They went there because they mostly went there because, like, all the attention it was getting. So, like, why not go and, like, get some of that attention? Be like, you went and you fucked shit up and then you disappeared on those people. So it's just like, bitch, why are you here? In both real life and the movie, like, why are you here? Why'd you come here?
Yeah, they definitely didn't contribute.
Well, let's move on to the demons. There were so many demons, and they were all good, honestly. But what about you, Maria? What are your thoughts on the demons we had in this movie? Was there anyone in particular that stuck out for you?
I like the demons in this movie. I like them better than Annabelle. And, I mean, I feel like we didn't really have actual demons in the first Conjuring. But, I mean, Valak himself was already really scary. And then, I mean, Billy was more of, like, a ghost, but he was being controlled by Valak. And I think that, like, once you find that out, I think it just really brought more depth to the fact that, like, it's not just a demon and there's, like, some things happening. Like, it's a literal, like, there's something worse here. And I thought that was, like, really cool. Like, before finding out it was Valak, you kind of figure out that there's something worse here than just Billy. And I thought that was really cool. The Crooked Man? I thought the Crooked Man was really interesting. I really liked his character design. And he was scary when the CGI was right and it wasn't, like, too much. Because I can't imagine this, like, weird thing chasing me around the house. Like, no. And then his voice, I thought was a good touch. And then his fucking limbs creaking as he's walking was a great touch. And, you know, it definitely made things scary. And I feel like you could tell that Valak is just not someone you just randomly mess with, you know? And yeah, I think throughout, like, the whole franchise, his is, like, my favorite. His demon design is my favorite, you know? I feel like it is, like it hits compared to the demon in Annabelle when it just looked like a guy wearing horns and he's just half naked. And then, you know, and the first movie, I feel like it wasn't really a demon. It was like a witch doing these things. So I liked the demons and the designs in this movie.
Hello, young.
Well, for me, I actually really enjoyed how Maria said, I really loved how the designs were for this movie. The demons were actually pretty good. Valak, I just like that they went for an approach that you wouldn't think, like, you know, a demon dressed as a nun. Like, I would have never thought of that, in my opinion. That actually scared me, just like, it's not even just like how it about it looks, like the idea that, like, a demon can hide in the eyes, like, of the Lord, basically, because, like, remember what happened was, like, Lorraine couldn't even see Valak because they were, it was hiding under this, basically under Bill Wilkins, but honestly, just, like, even not using Bill Wilkins, like, the fact that it was that strong enough to hide from her sense, it was just like, that's even more terrifying to think about it. The Crooked Man, I did enjoy, like, what you said before, like, the CGI, when it was hit right, yes. What actually terrified me was, like, you know, when, what was it? When Ed was in the little tent and the Crooked Man was playing in there, and then he looks up and the Crooked Man was there, that part terrified the fuck out of me. I was like, oh, hell no. The way that it smiled, the way, oh, no. That was the part where I was terrified of the Crooked Man. And Bill Wilkins, I don't know if you would consider him maybe a demon, but more of like a slave to Valak, because, you know, Valak basically used him in order to hide, in order to hurt this family. But honestly, I just felt bad for Bill. Like, he's just there being a victim to this demon's wants and needs.
Tawan, what are your thoughts on the demons?
I thought the demons in this one were well done. Valak's design, even though, like, the base design of, like, Valak being a nun, you know, that's, like, fine and all, but, like, it's really the, like, the makeup and everything that they put on the actress and how they made, like, Valak look was, like, really well done, because, like, it looked creepy as fuck when you look at Valak. Like, it's not, like, scary on its own, especially, you know, what's coming, but, like, you know, if you were to see that in real life, you'd be scared as shit. And I think that was, like, a really good, like, design. And just being how, like, strong of, like, entity Valak was, that Valak could, you know, control another, like, ghost or another entity to, like, do its bidding, was, you know, pretty, like, good. But, you know, I guess it didn't hit all the way, because we kind of got that as well in Insidious also. So, like, James Wan did kind of use that a bit twice, in a sense, but, like, just for this movie itself, I think, like, it worked really well for the story and how, like, Valak, you know, was trying to get to Ed and Lorraine more than it was trying to get to, like, Janet and their family. So I think that all worked really good. As far as Bill, in the scenes that we, like, kind of saw him in, and once we kind of learned that Valak was controlling him, I mean, he became obviously, like, very less threatening. And at the end of the day, it really just seemed like he just wanted to be, and he wanted them out of his house, which, I mean, he wasn't doing most of the stuff. It was mainly Valak. So I can't really fault that man for wanting them people out of his house. The Crooked Man, I thought the design of the Crooked Man was really cool and well done. And just the way that they showcased him, I don't think the Crooked Man, like, overstayed its welcome or anything like that, in my opinion. Because they definitely could have milked it, but they didn't. But I liked how, when the Crooked Man was, like, on screen, the way that the Crooked Man, like, moved, it was kind of, like, very, like, jolty and, like, jittered. That looked kind of cool. And, like, seeing that in the movie, just compared to everything else that was, like, on the screen. So I just thought that it looked really cool how he, like, moved throughout the house. And also, you could just tell that it was done, like, practically. Obviously, like, you know, the CG when he was transformed into the dog looked a bit weird. But, like, the Crooked Man himself was, like, done practically with, I forget the actor's name, but he does a lot of that type of work. But it was done, like, very well. And I think overall, all the, like, monster or creature, entity, ghost, whatever you want to call them, designs in this movie were pretty good.
Just like that, we've come to the end, but we're not quite at the end yet, because Tawan has to give the people the behind-the-scenes info and facts. Tawan.
Yes, so The Conjuring 2 had a budget of $40 million, and it brought in a box office of $321.8 million. Some interesting facts about the movie. Due to an inexplicable series of events during production of the first film, a priest from the Roman Catholic of Santa Fe was brought in to bless the set of the sequel by the film's producers. The Enfield Poltergeist case, which serves as the basis for the movie, is considered one of the most documented and notorious cases of paranormal activity in history. The haunting sustained for 18 months. Not only did a female police officer who visited the home witness the chair slide across the floor and sign the affidavit to confirm it, but Maurice Gross, a paranormal researcher, also had more than his share of encounters there. He made several recordings of paranormal events inside the house. Some aired as part of BBC documentary and showed the lights going off in their own and the slipper flying across the room and hitting him. Some critics' reactions, the film currently sits at 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. The Hollywood Reporter, Sherry Lennon, praised the film, saying 3 years after The Conjuring rattled the multiplex with old-school horror, director James Wan ups the ante with an excellent sequel. Entertainment Weekly gave the film a B-, writing there's some solid scares. Wan is too gifted in a dark art of gotcha manipulation to not make you leap a few times, but there's nothing on par with the first film's brilliant hide-and-clap scene with Lily Tyler. Deadline.com wrote that they were pleasantly surprised by the sequel and that what Wan has accomplished with the film, stating Wan knows the tricks of his trade, hiding sound effects, moving furniture, dark corners, but somehow, miraculously, he really puts a fresh spin on it all here. It's riveting stuff, even if a familiar cinematic environment. He added, it's one of hell of a movie.
Well, what about us? Do we cash or pass The Conjuring 2? Alain?
Oh, cash. I would, if I had the opportunity, I would watch this all over again in the theaters. I would watch it multiple times.
Maria?
I also cash. I've also seen this movie multiple times. I didn't even have to watch it for this because I've just seen it a lot, and it's definitely one of my favorites out of the whole universe.
One.
Also cash for The Conjuring 2. Just like Maria, yeah, I've seen this one number of times. Also didn't have to watch it for the review just because I remembered it that much, because this is one of those that is, you know, really good to recommend. And for, like, people who aren't really familiar with the, you know, the franchise and stuff, even though it's not the first movie, this is still like an entry point into the franchise, because while they have like continuity with certain things, you could watch like this, the first one or the second one first, and either way you still get like a good story from them. And I think James Wan just keeps it up really good with how he does, like, you know, the scares in it. And it makes for a good rewatch each time.
And for me, it's also a cash. Like I said, I saw this movie before I saw any of the other movies. This is what got me into the series. Is what got me into, pretty much got me into paranormal movies again. Because, like I said at the beginning, I was very anti-paranormal movies. Like, other than the Poltergeist, I wasn't trying to watch anything else. So this was a good movie to get me back into a whole genre of horror. And it's a cash. And that's a four-way cash. But will next week be a four-way cash? Join us next week as we review Annabelle Creations. Now, I've never seen this one before. This is going to be another first-time watch for me. I hope it's better than the last one we watched. So, you know, and it looks like a new story. So it looks like an origin story. So I'm kind of excited. So join us next week for Annabelle Creations. Good night.
If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Hide and Fear Horror's past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Hide and Fear Horror's on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Hide and Fear Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Tuan Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections. The Hide and Fear Horrors podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?